Grace, peace, mercy, and glory are yours. Through our glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word before us, the Transfiguration, according to St. Matthew. Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. There's something wonderful about learning new things. An excitement, a joy. Starting out on a path with only the faintest idea of what might possibly lay ahead. It's exciting. But not every lesson is learned the first time, is it? I find as a parent trying to teach lessons to my young children, it's usually not the first lesson that sticks. Likely not the 15th either. I find I have to repeat myself a lot. And then some more. And then I can hope, maybe, that the lesson might stick. In situations like this, I remind myself of a truism that sometimes helps. Repetitio mater studiorum est. Repetitio mater studiorum est. Repetition is the mother of learning. And that's really true, isn't it? The more you do something, the more ingrained it becomes in your mind, in your body, and soon it's not a reaction at all, it's just what you do. Like playing scales on an instrument, or carving dovetails in fine woodwork. I mean, that's the whole reason that sports teams have practices, right? To repeat. Repetitio mater studiorum est. Of course, some lessons require a little more repetition than others, don't they? Coming home late without calling your parents, that's a one and done generally. At least it was in my generation. Take the garbage out before it gets stinky. Yeah. One right bag and you'll be on the right path. Control your thoughts. Whatever is noble, praiseworthy, upright, honest, think on those things. Well, we might need some reminding. Take words and actions in the kindest possible way. Might need to be repeated more than once. On the mountain of Transfiguration, Peter had a repeat lesson. It wasn't the last time that this same lesson was going to be presented either. It's a perfect example of learning the long lesson. And the secret to really learning that lesson is to listen in class and apply it in life. Now, the verses just before our gospel today are very memorable passages. It's that time when Jesus speaks so clearly about his coming death. And Peter takes it upon himself to rebuke Jesus about this message. He pulls him to the side and tries to give him what for. And Jesus responds rather harshly. You remember what he said? It sounds so much better in the King James. Get thee behind me, Satan. For you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Get your mind off of this earthly existence. I'm about the work of heavenly value. Then Jesus returns and encourages all of his disciples with the message of his triumph. And Peter's silent, so lesson learned, right? Well, a week later, Jesus takes his inner circle on a special journey. They go up to the top of a mountain. We don't know what mountain that is. Class is in session. And while they're on that mountain praying, Jesus is transfigured. His face becomes as bright as the sun. His clothes become a burning white. It's glorious. And suddenly the inner circle notices that they've grown by two. And in a foretaste of the heavenly knowledge, they instantly recognize these men as being Moses and Elijah. And Luke tells us exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about Jesus' coming departure, his death, and how he's bringing this to fulfillment. And while they are talking, Peter, in his fear, blurts out exactly where his mind races to. He says, "I'll build a shelter." Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Peter, but what? What? In my mind, it plays out similarly to, but on a very high, much higher scale, of being in the room where your heroes are, and they're talking. It'd be like being in a room with Brett Favre, Bart Starr, and Aaron Rodgers, right? And you get to be there. And they're talking about how the season's going. I know it's not season, but they're talking about how to make the team better, and you're like, "Do you like licorice?" What? You can almost hear the needle scrape across the record as they turn and look. Fortunately for Peter, class was still in session. The bright cloud came and enveloped them and hid his, I'm sure, blushing face. And the voice of the Father cuts Peter off from making a true fool of himself. And you would think this would be a really impactful message for Peter. He heard the voice of God telling him to listen to Jesus. And this right after Jesus had called him out for having the completely wrong focus for Jesus. The lesson of listen to Jesus, don't focus on earthly things, must have been thoroughly learned and in the bag, right? Yeah. Right. Because in the next pages, Peter's going to ask, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? He is going to again boldly confront Jesus and say, "We left everything to follow you. What's going to be left for us?" And of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he attacks and has to be reminded, "Don't you know that I could call on my Father and have more than 12 legions of angels?" Peter's wrapped up and focused on what's going on around him. He continually misses the point that Jesus is teaching and so clearly showing here on the mountain. What about you? How is class going? Stressed out? Worried about your bills? Worried about your health? Is work secure? Peter's reactions and actions certainly mirror our own. We can sit here in church and we can sit downstairs in Bible study. And we can hear the words. We can answer the questions and it feels great. But as soon as real life starts to do its thing, we revert back to the old actions. The old instincts flare up. We take on the trouble. We internalize the struggle, right? And then perhaps like Fiddler on the Roof, we don't see lessons happening for us. We think, when it's too quiet up there, You think, what trouble can you send your friend down here? You ever hear the story about the guy who went to the doctor? He had terrible pain all over, and the doctor comes into the room and says, I don't get it from the chart. Tell me what's going on. So the guy says, well, it hurts here, ouch, here, ouch, here, ouch. And the doctor says, I think I got it. The guy's like, great, what's wrong? And the doctor says, you've got a broken finger. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have heard this or variations of this story, but the point is, the lesson wasn't learned the first time. And so the pain had to continue again and again until the lesson was revealed. Perhaps recurring troubles is a repeat or a long lesson. Here is the problem. Peter focused on the here and the now. The week before, he wanted a bread king, not a suffering savior. And on the mountain, he wanted the glory to remain, to stay and last. He focused on the work. Here, the now. I do the same thing. I focus on the battle for today. This to fix, that to fix, work to be done, dwellings to be made. My natural reaction to a hardship is to look to myself to fix the problem, not see the lesson. And you? Is your first reaction to every day, to every struggle and blessing, praise to God? Are you always satisfied with the lot and the lesson that God has given to you? So class continues. While Peter was still talking, the bright cloud came and stopped him in his tracks. The fear that the inner circle felt magnified to untold levels, and they fell flat on their faces. And the voice of God came and gave them encouragement and comfort. Bookending the ministry of Jesus, we have the words, with Him I am well pleased. After doing everything that Jesus had done in His public ministry, after suffering temptation, after struggling with the Jewish leadership, He is still pleasing in the eyes of God. He's doing it. He was on track. And the oh-so-important words, listen to Him. God put Peter, James, and John in these situations in order for them to learn. Listen. Don't focus on the here and now, because before you is the Son of God. Trust Him. Take to heart what He is saying and make it a part of you. Friends, there's no difference for us. Every day is a chance for us to reset our focus onto Christ and our heavenly home. The Transfiguration is a reminder that everything around us is only temporary. It's drab and dull compared to the glory that shall be ours when we enter His kingdom. Listen to Him. Focus on that future glory. Learn His lesson. Now apply it in life. Sure, listen to the lesson. Apply it in life. Easier said than done, right? Well, yeah, of course it is. But Jesus doesn't leave Peter, James, and John lying face down, lost and hopeless. He comes to them. He reached down and lifted them up and walked with them. And after all of this intense learning, He says, Don't be afraid. Now, if the lesson had ended there, I think it would have been complete. It's pretty safe to say that after that transfiguration, the image of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah talking would have been burned into their memories for the rest of their lives. Yet in that awestruck, silent walk down the mountain, Jesus speaks again. He says, "Don't talk about this until." Now, there are a number of reasons, and scholars have put forward as to why Jesus might have said, "Don't talk about this." Could have taken some of the focus off of Jesus and put it onto Moses and Elijah. People could have come and tried to ask too many questions of Jesus. People might have thought they were just crazy. But when someone tells you, "Don't talk about this," what happens to that? It slowly fades away and you forget about it, right? No, it stays right in the front. This is a time when I shouldn't be talking about this thing that I know. So here's Peter, constantly distracted by what's going on around him. What's going to make him remember frequently this important lesson? Show him the glory and say, "Don't talk about it." Yeah, that should work. That'll keep him thinking. And James and John, they aren't too far off of that path either. Both of them desiring good seats with Jesus, good position with Jesus, yet they are going to have to drink from the same cup. They need to remember this glory as well. Leaving the mountain, life goes on. The transfiguration stayed with these men, and they didn't talk until. Jesus said, "Until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And then he was. How important that is. Jesus showed the glory to come. His own strength was shored up in that moment to face the trials that were coming. And so were Peter, James, and John. They were strengthened for the trials. And when those trials were done, Jesus made good on His promise. He did what He said He would do. And then they talked. Boy, did they ever. They had finally learned Jesus is the all-powerful. He did what He set out to do. And I bet as Peter raced to the tomb on Easter morning, he thought on these words, "Until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And as he preached on Pentecost, I bet that lesson was thoroughly learned. Jesus died and rose for his people to be with him in true glory, not a temporary kingdom here. And that lesson would carry him through all of the trials that were left in his life, because he knew how to apply that truth. Do you? We're entering the season of Lent now. A time of reflection and realization of hardships. And we live in a world that seeks to draw our attention away from the Lord. Don't let it. Learn the lesson. Apply it. You don't have to wait for until. You have it now. Christ sits on His throne for you. He laid down His life and took it back up so that you may enter His kingdom. This is the message that carried the inner circle through their trials, and it's the same message which carries you through this life. Learn it. Love it. Live it. That which Christ has done shall remain that way. Listen to Him, God says. It is finished. Jesus breathes. These are the words which drive our lives. This is the lesson to learn. Jesus fulfilled the Father's will. He showed Peter, James, and John that He had the power to do it on the mountain, and He shows us in His Word. And He gives us so much more. He reveals the true power of the world around us, nothing. He teaches us that again and again. Don't be pulled off of focus. Don't focus on the trials and dangers of this world. Learn the long lesson. Jesus is Lord. He has done it. Heaven is our home because He is our Savior. That's a lesson worth repeating. Amen.